the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, your host for today's show, as well as for the last 400 plus shows that are all still available on Listen on Demand. I'm also founder of the UK's integrative cancer care charity, Yes to Life, that supports people with cancer in finding out all about integrative medicine and how it could help. Luke Watts is someone who's also working hard to introduce new resources of integrative care to people with cancer. And today, I'm going to be speaking to him about a brand new service he's about to launch as part of his initiative, The Cancer Coach.
Hi Luke, welcome to the Yes to Life show.
Wonderful, thank you for having me.
So I think this is your first time on the show, although I have featured The Cancer Coach before your service. Today's an opportunity to find out about a brand new service that you're launching very shortly, an online service which includes a 7-module course. So you start out by telling us who this is for, what it's called, and what they can expect to find.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you very much for the introduction. And yes, we have been featured on your program before. The Tree of Life was in response to many people who felt that they needed a structured, consistent approach to understanding how lifestyle can impact a cancer diagnosis. So like a lot of people who are interested in the impacts of lifestyle, if you were to search for this yourself, there is a lot of conflicting information out there.
There is.
And, you know, with all the due respect to the people that put this together, it can be very overwhelming for somebody who has maybe just been diagnosed to try and understand, well, what diet is the optimal diet? How do I exercise? You know, I am feeling emotions that I haven't felt before. How do I process them? And how do I create coping skills to deal with this? You know, people keep telling me that I should sleep and rest, but how do I actually do that in my condition and situation and other areas? So we really went on a journey with, some oncologists, some experts in behavior scientists. We've worked with cancer advocacy groups. We've worked with survivors and we've worked with health coaches to put together a program called Tree of Life. Mm-hmm. And Tree of Life is a 7-part, as you said, a 7-part modular program where we introduce we introduce topics around, say, emotional well-being, about how to modify and change lifestyle behaviors, how to look at nutrition, exercise, and sleep, how to be aware of the role of your gut health in digestion and elimination, and what role having an optimal gut can have in improving our immune system and responses to other threats. And then we also talk about the environment. So clean air, clean water, household detergents. And we are, as I said, you build on the knowledge of the previous module. So it becomes a beautifully put together series. And by the end of it, the idea is that you have a very comprehensive toolkit of resources to really try and implement a fundamental lifestyle shift that has been shown, the evidence has shown can actually impact a cancer diagnosis. So,
interesting. So, I mean, you talk a lot about anti-cancer lifestyle, which, you know, you and I, this is kind of familiar territory, but I imagine there's lots of people out there like, hey, what? Anti-cancer lifestyle? What on earth is that? That doesn't sound like cancer treatment, you know. So if you just had to tell somebody quickly, well, what are you actually on about here?
No, it's a really good question. And we appreciate this as an interesting term. And we did focus group the hell out of it. And we also came up with risk reducing and there are all these other different phrases. But essentially, people who... let me start with something at the beginning, which is the idea that cancer is a genetic disease. We're becoming more and more aware that that's not the case. Right. And it's maybe 5 to 10% of all diagnoses now are actually directly linked to genetics. The vast majority is driven by lifestyle and environment. So within that, we have learned that there are certain protocols or areas of lifestyle that we are in complete control over that we can actually put into to reduce the risks of developing cancer. So if 90% of cancer risk is in lifestyle and environment, we want to be able to look at that as an anti-cancer approach to well-being. And as I said, we approach that through, you know, through diet, through exercise, and the modules that we spoke about earlier. But essentially, an anti-cancer lifestyle is available to anybody. It doesn't have to be just somebody with cancer.
Right.
So quite often, Robin, you know this as well, that somebody who presents with a cancer diagnosis is quite likely to also be presenting with other diagnosed medical conditions. And a lot of those are precursors or can be considered aggravating conditions leading up to cancer. So somebody who follows our program who might not have cancer could be experiencing lifestyle challenges, and they could be as subtle as, I can't walk up a flight of stairs without, you know, going out
right.
of breath, or I'm not sleeping well, or my skin looks bad, or, you know, my sexual appetite and health is down. A lot of these things are lifestyle indicators that things aren't really going too well. So you don't have to wait to get cancer before you do our program. But a lot of the things that we do around the metabolism, the metabolic aspects of this disease, can find themselves also in heart disease, diabetes, a lot of them autoimmune conditions, as well as, I said, just more, I can, you know, regular lifestyle dysfunctions that we just mentioned.
Well, yeah, I always think one of the great strengths of lifestyle medicine is the fact that it's the same message whether you haven't got cancer yet, or you've got cancer, or you've had cancer. Actually, the same things apply all the way through. It's a consistent message. It's not, you know, because, you know, conventional treatment, you go through this weird phase where, like, okay, normally you're expected to look after yourself, but then you have to go and have treatments which are very... they actually undermine your health. So you've got to deal with the treatment as an extra thing, an extra challenge that's thrown your way. And so, you know, this single message of what makes for good health is extraordinarily important. I think it's come to the fore in COVID, you know, where everybody's realised that actually your background level of well-being actually predicts your outcome from lots of challenges you have in life. And if you're already kind of rubbish on the wellness front, you're likely to do badly when the challenges come along. So yeah, a great message. And of course, it does home in on actually the answer to cancer is not being finding ways to treat it, it's to stop it happening in the first place. So prevention really is where all of our attention should be going, given that it's a runaway situation we're dealing with. Okay, so at the top level, what would you say are the different elements of your service?
So we have built the program in a way that should appeal to the vast majority of the population. And we've done that, as we just spoke about earlier, by making the program accessible to people that don't have cancer. So, you know, anybody who is living a less than optimal life can benefit from doing this program as a cancer prevention kind of tool, or just an illness or disease prevention tool. Through going through, if you have been diagnosed, and you were alluding to this earlier, Robin, where a lot of the treatments made available at the moment are what we would call systemic. And so while they might have cancer fighting properties and cancer cell killing properties, most treatments can't distinguish between a healthy cell and a cancerous cell. So quite often people have a lot of side effects and complications from their treatments.
Right.
Again, integrating lifestyle can reduce a lot of those side effects and complications. So the program is eminently suitable for people that are going through treatment. And then there's the recovery aspect. You know, people who have finished treatment emotionally as well as physiologically are in a very vulnerable position. This program is an ideal place to pick up and start your new life again after treatment. You know, living with cancer after treatment is something you're always going to have to be aware of. The fear of recurrence is very, very real. But what we can do is to take a bit more responsibility and ownership of our own lifestyle to try and reduce the risks of recurrence of cancer, but also any other chronic illness. I think I was reading recently that cancer survivors are 8 times more likely to develop heart disease because of the nature. Yeah, so there's so much that you have to be aware of. And then the final, another population we want to be working with is caregivers. You know, a caregiver is a functioning, well looked after caregiver is so important to that individual's going through treatment. They can really, we have seen the evidence that they definitely improve treatment outcomes. But caregivers themselves are then vulnerable to be getting sick themselves because of the stress and everything that's related. Yeah. And a lot of caregivers are actually holding down full-time jobs.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very challenging part. So Tree of Life is looking at prevention, treatment support, recovery, and caregivers. And you ask about the features. So part of it is making sure we are available for every stage or every phase of that life journey. But we've also been very aware of learning styles. There are a lot of online courses. Right. There are. So what we wanted to do was to ensure through our behavior scientists to ensure that that skills transfer is at the point in which that person can benefit the most from it. So some of the features are, yes, it's an online course. The program has been developed in a way that does provide the most optimal learning experience by going through the individual lessons, individual videos. But for those who don't want to do it that way, they can sign up for instructor-led classes. So they can sign up for what we call group education. So if you don't want to go through a traditional online course of going video one, video two, video three, you can subscribe and sign up for a live session with one of our health coaches. And it'll be delivered as a group education.
Right.
We have toolkits and resources that appeal to people that are more visually accepted to learning, auditory, kinetic. We have probably one of our biggest features is the community part of the program. So anybody who signs up to the program can meet up and talk with other members of the program. Cancer can be can be a very lonely experience, and that feeling of isolation. We know support groups are really valuable, so you will be able to join a community program, part of the Tree of Life, is you can join a community and you can meet other people going through the program at the same time as you.
I'd like to talk about that some more. That's a very important aspect. Yeah, interesting. You've got these, you say these different learning methods to suit different people, and a lot of that comes from the fact that, of course, you already have a service of coaching, live coaching anyway, so it's kind of, you're already equipped in that area. So this is an extra to what you've already done. This is a new strand of learning. So interesting. So, you know, this is an information-led exercise. This is all about information. As you said at the outset, there's loads of conflicting information. There's loads of dispute about what's what. What's the basis of the information that you're sharing? How do you actually come by it?
Absolutely. Background, I've been involved in oncology and other diseases for over a decade now, probably closer to 15 years now. So we built up a body of research and evidence about, lifestyle and environment and its impactfulness when it comes to either reducing the risk of or dealing with a chronic illness, including cancer. What we've so getting access to information hasn't been the challenge. The challenge has been making sure that there is a step-by-step approach which is consistent to what was said previously. So that's been the real challenge, is not necessarily trying to find the evidence that this works. It's trying to piece the evidence together that it makes sense as you go through it on a timeline. So we have been working with oncologists, and I know I'm going to get her name wrong, so you're going to have to help me here. Dr. Penny Ekinogulu. That's
Dr.
it.
Penny,
we love
Ekinogulu.
Dr. Penny on
Yes
to Life. And so Penny's been great in
we
kind of leading part of our strategy on getting this information together. And then I think also another Yes to Life friend is Dr. Catherine Steele. who's a professor of behavior sciences at Leicester University.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been involved in, again, getting the information and making sure that it is presented in an optimal way that people are going to be able to learn from this experience. And what we've attempted to do in Tree of Life
right.
is not necessarily just present the information in the sort of what to do, but we've tried to give people the how to do. So a lot of the information that we offer is actually practical tips on how to implement this in your environment. So, you know, so in practical terms, that could be recipes that contain some of the active known anti-cancer properties, which are normally anti-inflammatory based properties. It's about how to, for those who might not be naturally aware of meditation or just have never done it before, we've got these guided meditation audio clip that people can kind of start listening to and build a practice of meditation. Meditation, like a lot of these things, they're not silver bullets. They're not events. They're processes. So a lot of this is about how to. And then we've also put a lot of work in the why. So we have collected, as I said, all of this body of research of information explaining where the science has come from. We've made that available in Tree of Life. So if you want to read the research paper that Mayo Clinic did, or MD Anderson did, or Harvard Medical did, or whoever has basically put all that effort into explaining the relationship between that module of lifestyle and its impact on cancer, is there. So, you know, we're not hiding anything. It's not an individual's dogmatic approach. This is a body of information that we have collected globally and have put it together in this very, what we think to be a very easy to understand and easy to implement process.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
I mean, on that thing about the disparity of opinions on things, that I mean, I don't know what your feeling is, whether you feel that things are improving or things are getting worse in terms of a body of knowledge which is accepted, if you like. Do you think that's growing?
It's a really interesting question. I think, generally speaking, as a population, we seem to be more polarized in all of our thinking, not
That's
just
true.
Medically.
That's true.
There's a lot of polarization, and I do worry that it's not necessarily the smartest people, it's the loudest. And that does bother me, you know, in politics, in healthcare, in education, you know, it seems to be the loudest people mm-hmm. are driving the agenda, not necessarily the smartest. I think from where we're coming from, Robin, if I would say that where I feel that there is a disparity is there's not enough done in prevention and recovery.
Mm.
I have a lot of respect for the charities, you know, Cancer Research UK and Macmillan and all those wonderful, wonderful people. I feel, however, that the money seems to be spent in treatment. And I think when I watch campaigns in the UK that say every 90 seconds, somebody with somebody's going to be diagnosed with cancer. I think that was the one of the last.
Was it?
Or I'm hearing another one, which, well, not every 90 seconds is like 365,000 people a year. And I'm hearing that the same people are then saying, and that's going to go up to 500,000 by the year 2040.
Mm.
The way that it's delivered is almost as if we have to accept that exactly. as a reality.
Exactly.
And that bothers me.
Yeah.
That really bothers me. So I would like there to be more... I'd like people to attack that and go, whoa. You're saying it's 316, it's going to go to 500. Therefore, the money really shouldn't be on treatment, right? Shouldn't we be looking at trying to reduce that 140,000 growth that you've already said is going to happen? I don't like the way that we're being conditioned as a population to accept
it. Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. I don't like that.
Absolutely.
So I'd like to see more be done in prevention. If prevention is too difficult in terms of a human for us to get our head around, then I would like that money or I'd like that research to go into recovery and relapse prevention. So there is so much that can be done at the point in which somebody finishes treatment.
Yes.
And there is precedent for this, Robin. We have done it with heart disease, and we've seen particularly men
right.
take more responsibility for their diet and their exercise post-heart disease.
Yeah.
But I don't believe there's enough attention in cancer, and I want to address that. I can't, you know, part of the tree of life is to kind of say, and I'm sorry for going on, but it is a bit of a...
It's fine. It's a good point.
It's one of my things. So I've worked with people, and I've worked with people that have cancer, say, for a very, very long time. And it's not uncommon for me to hear people say, at the point in which treatment is happening, or treatment is just recently finished, it is not uncommon for me to hear people say, I would rather die than have to do that again.
Right.
It's incredible.
Good it motivator, incredible. Eh? Good motivator.
Well, that's yeah. kind of where I think we should be picking people up.
Yeah.
And sort of saying, okay, well, let's run with this and let's see if we can start implementing things. Fear is not a sustainable way to change habit and behavior.
No.
But it can be a starting point for people. And I've said to people before, I can get a man who eats meat 3 times a day to go raw vegan if I tell him that's going to help his cancer. But unless we can change behaviors, then that person is likely to revert back to type once that fear has worn off, like willpower.
Right.
So it has to be through behavior change. It has to be through small steps. And as I said, if we can't influence people to prevent these diseases from happening, I really would like to see a more systematic approach to catching people at treatment and after treatment and trying to get them into, you know, to reversing or reducing their risk of further disease, including recurrences of cancer. So,
Well, yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense on many fronts because I think you're right, changing the population habits broadly in the way that we might like to see is a tough cookie, but as you say, that uniquely teachable moment when you've had an experience like that, there is an opportunity for massive change there, and many people take it even without any prompting at all. It's quite yeah. common, of course, for me to come across people who have transformed their lives in response to having had cancer. So it makes complete sense, and of course the more people you have who are living, let's call it an anti-cancer lifestyle after having had cancer, the more of it there is about people living
yes.
that way and it making sense to more people. So,
yes.
you know, it's going to become more pervasive just because of that, is that people will learn, hopefully, from the other people who have actually had cancer and don't want to go there again. And what are they doing about it? So, yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, it's a very good point you made there. Yeah, so, you know, with this thing about the polarisation, though, and the body knowledge, I mean, my feeling over the 20 years is that there is more ground to stand on than it used to be. It used to be kind of, this thing is going to either kill you or save your life. You know, it's just, it really was polarised. And now there is a more reasoned debate around the fact that various things are actually, they're just good, you know, they're positives for human beings. The amount of research that's built in the last decade is extraordinary around lifestyle and overall well-being, including cancer. And that's a great thing in a way, because it does take some of the polarization out of it. It takes some of the sting out of it, I think. And a lot of things that were just outright alternative medicine 10 years ago are now sensible lifestyle measures. You know, it has changed. Mm. So I think that's entirely wholesome, and I'm very pleased to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, a word out there to those oncologists who sometimes feel that people like I are disrespecting them. We're not at all. You know, we understand that they have not had this element of training, but there are people out there that are trained in lifestyle medicine, particularly, mm-hmm. And they're not necessarily MDs. And I think, you know, I came up with this phrase a little while ago that I'm kind of developing, which is a parallel pathway. And right. I think the way that we need to address, we spoke about it actually, didn't we, once over coffee, I think.
We did.
So, yeah, I do think that, you know, intervention medicine, the stuff that you get at the hospital, needs to be one line of a parallel train line. And the other line, the other rail, should I say, needs to be people that are trained and experts in prevention and recovery. And they need to be of equal strength and equal line to keep the train on track. And I think at the moment we have, to keep the analogy going, a monorail system.
Yeah, right.
Very out of date. And that train is getting heavier and heavier. And that burden on that line is getting heavier and heavier, and it's getting weaker and weaker. And until we split that line and have two rails running equally strong, providing equal support to us as a health population, that's got to be the holy grail. And, you know, and saying, I do sometimes feel that oncologists think I'm not, but the burden of responsibility on them is too great, I believe, and it needs to be shared. It needs experts in prevention and recovery alongside those wonderful.
So this is integrative medicine, of course. That's what it is.
Of course,
bringing together of all the resources there are.
Absolutely.
And working together for the benefit of the patients. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you've got these seven modules in your course. Yes. Do you want to just give us a little tour of what they are? I mean, I've done module one, so I know. But anyway, tell our listeners.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, the first thing to say is that, I'll go through the modules and explain probably the reasoning. So module one is about stress management and emotional well-being. And it's also the largest module and probably the most important module, because we are at this point trying to discuss your values. Now, in any behavior change situation, if we go against what we truly believe with deep, deep down in our soul, we will never get to the point of long-term sustainable habit change. So module one is about identifying your values, what is important to you. And there's no right or wrong answer, but it is really important to understand where you are at and what you are prepared to do. And we can do that within stress management as emotional well-being, because stress management is one of the areas where if we can implement tools early and quickly at that point, then people can start to look. Was it see the wood through the trees? Was it see the trees through the wood? Was it
see the wood through? See the wood for the trees.
That's it. So, you know, by dealing with some of those stress by putting in some stress management techniques and coping skills, people start to then be able to take a deeper breath and work through it. So that's module one. Module two. So module two is about behavior change. So this is where we really go into trying to understand where you are in your contemplative nature of change. So, for a lot of people, it could be in what we call contemplative, meaning that, okay, I'm interested, but I don't quite know what I'm doing. And, you know, we need to know where you are in that contemplativeness of change, and also for you to know how you are going to go through those stages and to be aware of them as you go through the behavior change stages. So that's the first two modules. Module three is about nutrition. Now, when people talk about an anti-cancer lifestyle or any kind of health benefit, nutrition is the sexy one. It's the one that everybody tends to lean towards.
It's the first thing. Yeah. If people look outside the box, it's like, well, what should I be eating?
Absolutely. But we don't want you to get into nutrition until you've understood your values and where you are in your behavior change aspect. Our modules are locked, so you can't get onto module three before you've done module two. Right. You can't get onto module one. And I mean, because we build on what you have learned in modules one and two, your workbook that you fill out during the program will allow you to build on what you have identified, what you have learned about yourself in modules one and two. So then module three, sexy nutrition, becomes more relevant to where you are in what are my values, where am I, my stages of change.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Module four is about exercise and movement. Incredibly important. No, not, you know, even more so for those who are going through a chronic illness where they probably feel less inclined to move and to exercise. But we talk about why exercise is important, but what's so great about this module is the how-to. So we have a series of instructor-led videos for you to watch where you can find a program to match where you are at right now, even if that means you're in bed. Even if that means that you are in bed right now, you can still do arms, legs, shoulders, feet, ankle. There are exercise and movement that you can do where you're at. Exercise, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to go into this is, again, if you're looking at it for yourself, you can get overwhelmed. You know, not all of us, if we don't feel good, can do Nike or Adidas's latest high-intensity training app. We're not going to be running 5K. But so it can discourage a lot of people from doing something. And one of my favorite phrases, and we put this in the program, is don't let perfection get in the way of progress. It's so important that you can do little bits rather than do nothing because you can't do everything you want to do. Right. So don't let perfection get in the way of progress. So module five, so module four is exercise movement. Module five is about sleep. So, so important. We take it for granted, right? You know, I sleep. Okay. But, you know, if you were to, and we analyze how well you sleep in module five, and we can basically tell you through our program, is that an optimal sleep pattern? Are you getting the right amount? And are you getting the right quality of sleep? Sleep is where the body gets to restore. So if you go to bed optimally, meaning you haven't eaten a meal in the last 2 hours, you haven't drunk water for the last, or you haven't had a drink in the last 4 hours, then you're going to give the body a better opportunity to get through the digestive process that it needs to do and then build on restoring and repairing the parts of the body that have been damaged. One of the most common reasons we wake up, particularly men, is we go to the toilet. And quite often it's because we're drinking, you know, coffee, wine, beer, water before we go to bed. So, you know, just little things like don't drink anything 4 hours before sleep, and you will find that you will not have to wake up to go to the toilet. If you are waking up, it's probably because it's a habit, because you probably won't actually need to go to the bathroom if you stop drinking 4 hours before you go to bed. So then that you do that for a week or two, and then you'll find you will not wake up to go to the bathroom. So we talk about that's sleep. Module six is about gut health and digestion and elimination. So what we are not doing, we're not going too much into the microbiome because it's a relatively new field of study. Mm-hmm. There probably isn't enough evidence yet that's kind of mainstream accepted. And it can be a bit of an Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole. It's quite detailed. So what we're doing here is educating and advising people on the best way to optimize your gut for digestion, for nutrition absorption, and for elimination. You know, most people in the UK go to the toilet to pass a solid every 2 days right now. They're going to the toilet once in 2 days. Yeah. Where we know it should be between 2 and 3 times a day. So there's little things, again, where we're trying to, in the module, you get to assess where you are at, and then we can talk about what you might be able to do to improve that function. Mm-hmm. The final module, which I say final in inverted commas, because there's no graduation from this course. This is we would say that this is the end of the beginning when you finish module 7. But module 7 talks about how to protect yourself from external chemicals, chemicals in our food, chemicals in our water, chemicals in our air, chemicals in our household products. The module, when I go through it, can seem quite scary because everywhere you look, there's chemicals.
Danger. Well, it's true, though, unfortunately, isn't it?
But what I do like about our module is that we are presenting you with the facts that this stuff is there, but then we're giving you very, very practical ways to either protect yourself or to do a healthy swap. You can make your own toothpaste. It is so easy with bicarbonate of soda.
I do.
But there's so many things that you can make your, let's say, for example, you can make your own detergents. There's so many things that you can do yourself to, again, take some personal responsibility and have fun. It's so much fun actually kind of saying, I've made my own toothpaste.
Yeah, I agree. I love it.
Yeah, I've made my own shower gel. There's so much, and then again, that's all contained in the program in module 7. Lots of things for you to try. So that's our 7. They're our 7 modules. Yeah,
fantastic, very comprehensive. Well, thanks. That was a great overview. So look, we've not got so much time left, but I wanted to talk, as I said at the beginning, about the stuff to do with connecting with others, community, groups, all that kind of stuff. Can you say a bit more about what's on offer there?
Absolutely. So just to give you a bit of background, support groups have been shown to be very, very, very effective when it comes to providing emotional support and empathy, but also holding each other accountable to change, holding themselves accountable to doing something. And there's a reason why things like Weight Watchers, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, why they work is that it consistently brings together people who have the same end goal. So Weight Watchers, lose weight. AA, sobriety from drinking. NA, sobriety from narcotics and drugs. So we wanted to create a group where you've got this overriding ambition to basically live this lifestyle of eating better, exercising more, sleeping well, taking responsibility for your own health. So our community part of our program is to embrace that and bring people into a very safe space of like-minded individuals who all want to achieve the same thing. And within that, they can share where they are in the program. They can share what they've been successful in. The program itself, the technology is a very easy to use interface. The community looks very similar to a lot of social media platforms like Facebook. So you'll identify the picture icon, or I can upload a picture. I can take a photograph. I can comment on other people's. I can share. I can like what people have said. A lot of those features are very commonplace in most, and we have the same features. And the idea ultimately is that by bringing that community together, as I said, we're supporting people, we're making them, share their experiences, good and bad. The community, the rooms, the community rooms are moderated by a professional health coach. So, there are policies and rules, you know, what you can and what you can't say. But there's also somebody there that's just going to be keeping an eye on it, where they might be able to add some real valuable input to the conversation from a health coach's perspective. So the community part, right, we think is going to be a real game changer when it comes to somebody attempting to implement this new way of life, because it is a new way of life. It is very much where it, Robin, is countercultural.
Right. Well, no, absolutely.
It's very countercultural. So,
at this point, it is.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we want people to find others who are going and to embrace it and to kind of, this is the way, this is my new way of life now. And I'm going to be meeting and, you know, sharing my experience with others. So, yeah.
Mm. Okay, great stuff. So I mentioned that I'd done module one. Module one is actually free and accessible to all, correct?
Absolutely, yes. So we want people to go to our website, so thecancercoach.org, so www.thecancercoach.org. And from there, they can see the Tree of Life, and they can sign up for free membership. Free membership gives you access to the community.
All right.
It gives you access. Yep. It gives you access to the live events, and it gives you access to all of the content in module one, including all of the toolkits and the resources. Module one is the most important. We hope that people enjoy the experience. We hope that they will learn something about themselves, because it is about values, which is really cool. We hope that people will be able to implement some of the stress management techniques, which all of us could deal with, regardless if we have a cancer history. You know, we could all do with having better coping mechanisms for stress. You also get access to your journal. So journal writing is a wonderful, wonderful tool. So that's all free as when you subscribe, and you'll have that. So even if you do not pay for modules 2 to 7, you will still have access to all of that indefinitely. You will also be able to download your workbook in module one. So again, you'll be able to fill out your workbook in terms of the module one, and you'll be able to see what we're covering in modules 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And again, you know, maybe by looking at the workbook, you might be incentivized to go, oh, great, I'd like to give module 2 a go. Opening up the other modules is just, it's a monthly subscription. So, you know, if you like module one, you think this is something that you want to work with, you can just sign up and you'll open module two, and away you go.
Right. Very good. So a couple of questions from that. Well, you mentioned events. What are you talking about here? What's on offer?
Fantastic. So the first series of events we're going to do is a group education. So in module one, if you were to go through module one as an online course, you would go through 9 separate videos. And after each video, there's a little knowledge check where you can kind of fill out a little questionnaire, what you remember in the video. So what we've done, we've taken those 9 videos and we've created 5 standalone workshops for those who don't want to do it in that way, or for those who want to reinforce those learning. So we're going to make all those 5 events live and also recorded. And you'll be able to go through basically all of module one's content by attending 5 separate instructor-led workshops and events. So that's the first series of events that we're going to do. And then we'll see where we go. We've been so blessed by the people who have provided content for our knowledge base and for our toolkit. And they want to talk about their subject matter. So. Right. We will be hosting, you know, lots of events from lots of, you know, very well-respected. And again, Dr. Penny's going to be hosting events on there as well from an innovative oncologist perspective. Mm. So, yeah, very excited about it.
Very useful, yeah. Great stuff. So so you pay by subscription for the rest of the modules.
Yes.
Can you give an idea? I know it hasn't launched yet, the service, but can you give an idea what kind of thing we're talking about? Because, of course, this is critical to some people.
Yes, absolutely. So I think we're going to be coming in at $19.95. It's an international program.
Okay, so and it's we've about had 15, 16 pounds or something.
Yeah, so about £15-16 for per month,
yeah.
Or it's going to be $200 for the year, which is like £160 or something for the year.
Yeah.
So as I said, you know, it's not a case of getting through the program as quickly as you can,
no.
Because what you will learn, as I've done the program myself, is you once you're going through the modules, or once you finish module 7, you will then gravitate back to some of those previous modules, and you'll start to apply your new way of thinking to what the area of study was in, say, nutrition again, for example. And you can update your workbook, because your workbook is digital, so you can update it and apply where you are at now compared to maybe where you were, or download another workbook. And so you have workbook on the first time you went through Tree of Life, and then a few months later you might give it a go and do module 2, do workbook 2. But another incentive that we're offering people, Robin, if I may, is at the end of module 7, if you're a subscriber to our program, we will offer a complimentary lifestyle analysis with a coach.
All right. That's pretty
good. So you will get a session with the health coach. And what they will do there is look at what you've achieved in your time with Tree of Life, and will give you some guidance and support on areas of lifestyle that a health coach can do based on, you know, areas that you might be struggling with, or areas that we feel the health coach feels that you might want to put more into in order for you to achieve your goals and ambitions. So that's going to be, yes. So anybody who is a subscriber, and once they have completed module 7, they'll be invited to set up a complimentary one-on-one private session with a health coach, and to assess, you know, where they are in their lifestyle.
So does this toolkit here represent something that's likely to be of interest to the mainstream, do you think?
I certainly hope so, Robin. And I've had several conversations with, you know, council members and people that do represent communities. And our offices are based at Queen Mary's University in East London, and, you know, one of the most deprived areas of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And in some of these deprived areas is where you find your highest degree of health inequality. And so we've had conversations with community leaders to say our program can be translated. We can make our program available to this community. We can reduce the gap of health inequality. And I just mentioned, obviously, the, you know, that community because they are on our doorstep. But there are communities up and down the country where if we can, we talked about this earlier, if we can reduce the burden of proof on the, you know, on the admissions in the hospital at the A&E stage, and we can and you're talking not having to move the needle, Robin, by many percentage points in order to make a massive, huge difference in terms of how resources are allocated and money is spent at a government level.
Make a big difference.
So, massive, yes, I mean,
yeah.
I have that ambition. I hope, you know, through probably a critical mass of people doing the program, where we're going to be able to present evidence that these populations are getting healthier, they are reducing their risks of disease, they are reducing the burden on the healthcare system, they are taking more responsibility for their health, that, yes, we really do hope that, yeah, somebody high up looks at it and goes, yeah, let's roll this out.
That's what we need.
Yeah,
interesting. Okay, great. So, look, do you want to just quickly tell us about the launch? And you're going to be part of our event on the 17th of June as well.
Yes. So the program will be, so as of today, the program should be coming out in the next week or two at the very latest. So probably, you know, second week of June. Module 1 is already available right now to be downloaded and to have access to. So you go to, you know, thecancercoach.org, go to Tree of Life, and you'll just see a little button there that allows you to subscribe to our trial account. And then the rest of the modules, as I say, will be coming online imminently. So by the time of this recording, I guess it will be available. I mean, you know, we just want as many people to use it as possible. And even if you only do module 1, I still think you'll have a great, great benefit. And as I say, stay connected, keep the app alive, because you'll be able to keep talking to the communities. You'll still have access to the events, you'll still have your journal, you'll still have your workbook. So there's still plenty on offer, even in our free trial part. So we're going to be looking to be offering some incentives and other opportunity for people to really engage with the program. We'll make that announcement on the 17th of June. I don't want to give everything away.
No, that's fine.
But yeah, it's very, very, very exciting. Happy to be part of your event on the 17th. And, thank you again for the invitation to that and to today. Yes to Life is, I seeked you out a couple of years ago as probably being one of the only consistent authoritative voices in the UK on integrative cancer care. And, kudos to everything you guys do. I know some of the plans that you have, Robin, are going to be extraordinary when they come to fruition.
And, hopefully.
We want to support you, as you know. Personally, I want to, and I know as an organization, wherever we can, we will make our resources available to you. And just go back to what you were saying earlier. Integrative healthcare is in my opinion, the only way you're going to be able to really help people. And, at the moment, we have a model that's more disease care. And I think only through integrative medicine can we truly call it healthcare. Mm. And I think that's what we need to go to.
Great. All right. Well, we're going to have to end it there. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Tell us all about the new service. One of the things that's really heartening is it's a low-cost form of learning and support, which, costs are such an issue for many people with a cancer diagnosis who want to look at anything that's outside the box. It's just like the cost comes straight up in their face. So this is great to have so much on offer for not a lot of money. So great. All right. Thanks, Luke.
Thank you. Good stuff. Take care.
Yeah. Okay. Cheers. Thanks very much.
Always good to hear about free or low-cost resources for people with cancer. As we mentioned, Luke will be taking part in our online event, Building Your Integrative Team, on the 17th of June. This and its sister event in London in the autumn will be a mine of resources for people with cancer at a very low cost, so do read about these events and book at yestolifeannualconference.org. Thanks so much for joining me today. I look forward to bringing you another guest expert from the world of integrative medicine next week in the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.